You know, find some episodes of some similar people that are kind of, you know, in the similar situation, whether that have to do with the job or family or you know, an organization that's similar to like what you want to create, and kind of listen to them and see what they're up to, and use that as kind of inspiration to go out there and do your own thing in your own community or join something in your own community.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 200 of Life in Motion. I can't believe we've hit this milestone. I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners for supporting us over the years. I thought we also might use this special episode to highlight some of our previous guests, as well as our nonprofit partners. Oh, and if you stay until the end, there might be something special for you. But before we get into that, let's welcome a good friend of the show, John, with Actual Outdoors. John, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. I mean, a lot and nothing all at the same time. You know, it's good to talk to you again, man. It's been a minute.
Yes. Such is life. It never stops. I think the last time we actually saw each other was at Gear Swap we hosted last fall, back in September. So we kind of caught up then. But what's been going on in your world as far as, you know, what you're working on with Actual Outdoors? And I guess for those of you who don't know, what is Actual Outdoors?
Yeah. Well, I'll start by saying thanks for having me on. And yeah, it was really good to see you. That was this past fall, you said, I think.
Yeah.
The swap. Yeah, man, that feels like a year and a half ago already. That was a cool thing. I really enjoyed that. But yeah, Actual Outdoors. So we do creative content marketing for outdoor industry brands or outdoor adjacent kind of brands. So some of the brands and people that we work with are like small to mid-sized coffee companies, outdoor retail shops, brands in the outdoor space. But it's myself and my partner Lindsay, and she's a graphic designer and a really talented artist and illustrator, and I do photography and video, and we also both do brand strategy and marketing strategy stuff. So our whole approach is that we just try to convey and express the outdoors the way that they actually are. That's where the name comes from. You know, everybody is kind of always showing the pristine, perfect, you know, sunset, summer, or, you know, summit selfie kind of look for social media or whatever. And our approach is like, to show the outdoors for what it's actually like and make it feel, you know, as approachable and relatable as it really is to go be outside. So, yeah, that's what Actual Outdoors does. And then, man, since we talked last, I feel like I've been going about a million miles a minute. You know, we've got a lot of really cool client work going on. Things have really picked up for us in the last 6 months, I would say. Wasn't sure about winter, you know, it's kind of hit or miss for us, or at least it has been. We're going on year three now. And so in the past, we had this tendency to get really busy during the summer doing, you know, shooting video and working on projects and stuff. And then the winter I would go, oh, wow, I kind of haven't been reaching out to anybody, and things would slow down. Things would slow down a little bit, in the winter. But man, this year it really picked up for us. So we've been really busy all through the winter with some cool client work. And actually I just got back from a trip to Crested Butte for some snowboard video and photo nice. Work for a client. And then, also some, I want to give a shout out to Grizzly, Pet Products. They're one of our retainer clients, and they do some really cool, pet additive, like, fish oil, for pet food. And they're kind of like way into the outdoors, and that's kind of their whole brand persona. So I got to do some really cool video and photo stuff for them while I was out in Crested Butte as well. And that was a blast. And then right before that, we did a month in the Florida Keys for a roof rack company and a few other kind of clients that needed some warm weather, summertime, you know, beach vibe kind of feel things. So we, you know, initially it wasn't going to be a month. I had a friend who's down there. He's a kayaker, and the goal was to go down and get some of this stuff maybe for 2 weeks or whatever. But we had some really interesting car issues, and the truck was in the shop for a while, and then the truck got towed, and then it was just one of those trips where it turned into a month. yeah, but it was good. It was really good. And so I'm actually just like super happy to be back here in Missouri, because it's like the best time of year here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And I guess if, you know, you're gonna have car issues, Florida, you know, the Keys or whatnot, probably isn't the worst place to have the issues, but, that's awesome. And that you've been, you know, kind of bouncing around, obviously working with a lot of great, outdoor brands. I know a lot of them are very, you know, really about building that outdoor community, which both yourself and Lindsay really fully encompass. If you you know, keep up with them on Instagram or whatnot, they're always doing some fun adventures even outside of the whatever projects they're working on. So it's super cool to see kind of your own brand in that sense grow while helping other awesome brands grow as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is, you know, it's what we would be choosing to do if it weren't our jobs as well. So, you know, it's definitely a lot of hard work, and we work our butts off, but it's like, we would be outside, and we are outside doing this stuff either way. So, it's been a really awesome, last couple of months. But, you know, honestly, I'm here, excited to hear about your last couple of months, or maybe even years probably, because last I remember, I was on for episode 100, and I was able to interview you just about, you know, Illumin and about Life in Motion and about the show and stuff like that. And so that's why I want to hear, that's why I want to be here today, is to like ask you some questions, because it's episode 200, which is insane to think about. Because I think I was, it feels to me at least like I was here asking you these questions about episode 100. That feels like 6 months ago, maybe, but it had to be a little bit longer than that, right?
Yeah, it does. It does feel, you know, like it wasn't that long ago. But so I actually looked this up the other day, and it was May 24th of 22, which is almost 2 years ago, which is kind of hard to believe. And it was, you know, it was maybe half a year before that I started kind of the weekly episodes of Life in Motion. And it's just hard to believe it's already 200 episodes. And not only that, I mean, obviously, you know, we have awesome guests, throughout those. And there's so many awesome stories, and interactions that I've had through that. And it's just flown by.
That is absolutely wild to me. I mean, I understand that I don't really have a fair concept of time, just because things are flying by, but 2 years it feels like it was not that long ago, but it is pretty amazing to see, you know, all of the people that you've had on the show and all the organizations that you've been able to help, through the show and through Illumin in that time. So are you down with kind of giving me a little bit of a recap of walking down some of the maybe favorite episodes and favorite moments from, you know, these past 100 episodes, which is just insane to think about. I can't fathom the pace at which you're able to do this. So that could be another thing to kind of speak to a little bit of, man, how do you keep up with it?
Yeah, so it's, you know, over the past 100 episodes, it's a lot of conversations. It'd be hard to just pick one, but, you know, what I've really tried to have done with this podcast and kind of what it's all about is showing, much like you show the actual side of outdoors, I want to kind of show the actual side of like adventure and different experiences, and kind of really share other people's stories, whether they be organizations or businesses or individuals, as it pertains to the outdoors, but share it in a way where it kind of shows, you know, different levels, I guess, of being active in the outdoors and engaged in the outdoors, just so it kind of opens up everybody's mind to try their own version of what exploring the outdoors or an adventure looks like to them. So, you know, as I mentioned, there's so many different different guests that we have spoken with, and you know, there's some come to mind. You know, there's some that are just kind of have like incredible, like really just inspiring stories of what they've done and overcome, and how they continue to help people kind of through that time. You know, for example, I don't know what episode it was, but it was a guy named Kirk out of Richmond, Virginia, or Ashland, Virginia. But, you know, he was really big into mountain biking and really passionate about that. And I think he moved out to Colorado for a while. Obviously, for anybody who's been to Virginia or Colorado, there's pretty stark differences in what you can get into as far as the outdoors, in that sense. But, you know, he ended up having like a complete freak accident on the trail. He fell, hit his back some weird way. He ended up being paralyzed from the legs down. But which is super sad, but you hear his story, and you know, after the recovery and finding, you know, that outdoor community that that he already had around him, that support through that, you know, he figured out how to adapt and, you know, crafted this whole like mobile van situation. You know, had, you know, the bikes where, you know, if you are, you know, don't have mobility in your legs, you know, you could still go mountain biking and you know, wow, off-road wheelchair and you know, all this crazy stuff. And it's like, that's like one example. And there's other examples of other individuals that just had really unfortunate injuries, and they are already had like a previous life, or there's some that didn't have a previous outdoor life, but came into the outdoors kind of through the recovery, through these injuries. But, you know, like hearing their stories and how they were to kind of overcome and adapt, rather than, you know, letting it get the worst of them, in that sense. So like there's examples of that, you know, the specific individuals, you know, there's stories like that. There's professional, there's a professional kayaker that we had, on, Nick Troutman. He was super cool to talk to. I think him and his wife were both, professional kayakers, but they met through that, traveled all over the world, all these crazy places, just on the water. And when they like settled down, you know, they ended up having a family and a couple of kids and all that stuff. But they, you know, when you have kids and you're used to that lifestyle, sometimes it's hard to, you know, sit back and be like, okay, well, how do we kind of adapt with both situations and both changes as the kids get older and the young? But they just found creative ways to get their kids outside and bring them along with their journey, and how, you know, they would still travel around, but then, you know, there's a big learning aspect of the exploration and the outdoors and different places and countries that they traveled. And I think there's, you know, obviously not all of us are professional athletes in that sense, but, you know, I think a lot of the people with families and young families themselves that do have a passion for the outdoors, you know, hearing stories like that of others getting outside and figuring out creative ways, you know, to hang out with your kids and, you know, and kind of navigate that. So, you know, he's another one that really came to mind. And there's just so many good ones. You know, there's been various, kind of behind the scenes stories of some different ski films, that were all women led, or ski and snowboard films, and just them bringing that community and that awareness to the outdoors kind of for the female aspect, and just kind of getting together and shredding different locations and kind of getting that next generation of, you know, women riders, excited. And, you know, even authors, Christine Reed, the author of Alone in Wonderland and, soon to be Blood, Sweat, Tears. You know, she's, Illumin has worked with her for a while, but she's been on the podcast a couple of times, and, you know, creating those vulnerable stories from her experiences on the trail to share with others, to inspire others to get out and do the things. And basically, you know, to look at the outdoors as a way to, heal and kind of overcome, you know, personal problems that you might be going on with your life, rather than the alternative of, you know, going down rabbit holes of too much booze and drugs and whatever else, that obviously isn't good, but turning to the outdoors kind of as that outlet, which is something that really she talked about in her first book, and that's helped a lot of people. And now she's kind of on the next iteration of that, of building her own community through, this book called Blood, Sweat, and Tears that's coming out, that is, it's a collective of readers or of submissions from other women that hike and whatnot, and telling and sharing their stories and challenges and how they've overcome. And there's like, I could go on and on about the different people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, there's people that are kind of, I guess, more in the limelight like that too. But there's also individuals that are just the normal everyday person that you just kind of hang out with, but they do some awesome things in their community every week, and kind of more or less the weekend warriors, whether they have a family or not. But it's just cool to share all those stories and inspire others in that sense. And then of course all the various nonprofits, you know, ones that are, you know, helping create the outdoor space, maintain the outdoor space, and, you know, protect the outdoor space. You know, they're all over the states, and there's, you know, a plethora of them, you know, just making impact in their own community in their own way. And it's inspiring to hear kind of those ones that started as really grassroots organizations and have grown, and then ones that are still kind of in that grassroots phase, but they're just making huge strides for what they believe in the outdoors. And it's been awesome and an honor to talk to all these people.
Yeah, man, I can only imagine, you know, like getting to hear that, that volume, that amount of like those inspiring stories, and then see all the, you know, I know just in my life from seeing friends or acquaintances or people who work at nonprofits, and the amount of work that goes into those, especially the grassroots type, you know, it's like just to talk to and hear and be around those kind of people is just like, it gives you hope and it makes you feel happy.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, people are freaking really awesome. You know, like your stories, some of those memories kind of highlight the mountain bike and, you know, like Nick's story and some of those other things. It's like, you know, it's just so amazing because everybody is so different in how they get to where they are and learning their thing and kind of, you know, adjusting to life as life happens. And it, you know, it's a common thread between, like, you know, our approach and your approach to how we go outside and how we like to be outdoors is like, you know, kind of mimics nature in that it's like nothing's ever really just like, okay, this is the objective, this is what life is going to be like, or this is how something's going to happen, and then it just goes exactly like that, right? It's these like really inspiring, winding, crazy stories that mimic kind of the chaos and beauty of like the outside that we love so much. Hearing about those stories really kind of makes me curious about where do you find, how do you find people that you interview? How do you get in contact with all these different stories?
Yeah, so you know, that's a great question. Obviously, so many different guests that does sometimes become a challenge in a sense. But honestly, it's just a lot of looking on. You know, obviously, if we have a guest on, you know, I'll ask if there's anybody kind of within their circle that would make sense to have on, and that those have had some really good connections and guests that way. But for the most part, outside of that, it's either, you know, scrolling through Instagram, you know, it's so ironic talking about the outdoors, but scrolling through Instagram and whatnot.
It's a part
but
of it.
You know, seeing either somebody, you know, share a post of a different nonprofit or a person as well or a business. Or just searching the hashtags, different outdoor hashtags, nonprofit hashtags, that kind of stuff that are around the outdoors. And really it's, you know, kind of, you know, finding them, looking at their profile, checking out their website, kind of see what they're about, if they have a website, that kind of stuff. You know, kind of try to get a judge of character from that sense. And then from there, it's just kind of reaching out. And I like to take kind of every episode, for the most part. I mean, it's the first time really like having a conversation with them. So, you know, I try to view it as just that, as a conversation. You know, we're sitting down at a coffee shop and, you know, they're telling me the story about how they went from American Ninja Warrior to professional rock climber, or how their family started Lahoot ski shop up there in the Northeast, and how that generation has shifted over and how they're giving back to the outdoors through that. So it's just kind of having those organic conversations once to find kind of those interesting, you know, like I said, people, nonprofits, businesses, whatnot that are doing something awesome and positive within the outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. It's like, I think, you know, one of the things that I've found to be true, in my life is that like you meet an interesting person or a couple of really interesting people, and then it tends to be they know other interesting people, and that network just kind of can naturally grow to a certain extent, just by those conversations that you're talking about, of somebody saying, hey, you know, I know this person, as you're talking about mountain biking or whatever, hey, I know this other person who's really into this crazy weird mountain bike challenge or whatever, you got to talk to this person, right? And some of that stuff just occurs naturally, and then it's cool to hear how you seek some of it out too, because it's like, man, the pace that you do this with is admirable to me. How do you do that? How do you keep up with putting these episodes out, you know, on the schedule that you do? It just seems like, man, I always admire people who are able to do something like that and stick with it when I know firsthand how challenging it is to do an episode a month, let alone the pace that you're at. So how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, luckily, you know, not doing anything live for the podcast does help a ton in that sense. So, you know, I usually try to stay, you know, a month to 2 weeks ahead of schedule as far as when episodes are recorded versus when they'll be released. But you know, it's, you know, sometimes parts of the year it's easier to, you know, guest schedules to work out with everything. And sometimes it's not. So, you know, there's times where it is the week before a new episode's supposed to go live, and we're like, okay, who's in our circle that we haven't reached out to in a while, and, you know, get somebody on just in the nick of time. Or, you know, kind of reach out to some of those closer people that I've met along the way and like, hey, can you know anybody that could maybe record before next Tuesday type of deal. But it's it's really just kind of trying to balance that and just trying to stay ahead, just because there are so many different moving parts. And definitely, and it's specifically, you know, if we're talking to a person, you know, they have a personal life and work and all that stuff. And if it's a nonprofit, they might have a big event that's going on at that time. So scheduling isn't that time, at that good. Or if it's a business, you know, they have stuff going on. So it is, it's sometimes a challenge to kind of find that balance of getting people, you know, just not getting people on, but finding the time, that works for everybody to have on and dedicate that time to share the stories. But it's definitely a part of it, and it's kind of just become such a rhythm now that it's just kind of a, you know, a part of the day to day and week to week.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, it just like anything, the more you consistently do it, the more it I don't want to say easier it gets, but like the more of a habit it becomes, and you're able to just kind of keep that momentum going, which is fitting for a show called Life in Motion, I would say.
Exactly.
Another thought I had, like, while you're talking about that, is like, what is it about the medium of the podcast that has worked so well for you? And what would you like maybe say to somebody or recommend to maybe one of the nonprofits that you're partnering with or some other entity that's thinking like, man, maybe we should start a podcast? What's something to think about or know, as far as what the medium is good for and kind of what you've learned over these 200 episodes?
Yeah, I think the whole reason I started the podcast in the first place was sort of as an extra arm, I guess, of Illumin. You know, Illumin, make the apparel, we give back to the nonprofits. But it was kind of like, well, what about the people that want to benefit from visiting Illumin, but maybe they don't have the money to buy a t-shirt, or maybe they don't like the designs, whatever that reason is, but they're into
Not
the brand
possible.
And the mission.
No way.
but you know, how could for those people, how could we still like give them something of value that falls under the Illumin mission of, you know, inspiring adventure and building those outdoor communities? So that's kind of like where the idea for it of the podcast came from. That was like the way to do that, to share those stories, inspire others, get others outside, have them think about things in different perspectives as it relates to the outdoors, to hopefully, you know, encourage them one way or the other to do that thing themselves. So, you know, I think as far as like the medium goes, you know, it's really just a conversation. I mean, there's different styles of podcasts, and you'd be more formal or laid back or whatnot. But it's, you know, it's really just a conversation. And, you know, there's so many, it's, you know, outside of the time it takes to record it, you know, there's not too much that goes into it, with the editing and that stuff, depending on how you record, of course. But, and from there, you know, you can take the transcript and write a blog out of it. Obviously there's the audio form. If you want to record a video while you're doing it, you can do that as well. You can do audio clips. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do it that can share your message, kind of effectively, where it's easily shareable and digestible, whether that be short term or long term, to kind of, you know, help drive your mission or support or, you know, raise awareness for one of your initiatives coming up or anything like that. So, you know, that's why I think it works well in that way, because it takes away some of those things that you have to think about otherwise. But it's really just kind of figuring out, like, whatever that commitment is, you know, how often do you want to put it out? Once a month, once a week, every day, if you're super ambitious. But right. You know, and just kind of stick to that schedule, and then, you know, maybe work your way up and just kind of get in the flow of things. Like, it's really weird at first, and, you know, the first one I recorded, it was on a cell phone recording app. Like, I had no clue what I was doing. I downloaded some app on my iPhone, and I was talking to somebody like through a dial through line, and it was recording, right, and it was a terrible quality, but I like started it. That was the thing. So yeah, just start it and just kind of go from there. And there's plenty of free apps out there. You know, you can get a decent microphone for cheap. So it's not like you have to have this huge production. It's not, it doesn't have to be as fancy as the really big people that you see on TV. You can make it that way, but you don't have to start that way.
Yeah. That's awesome to hear. I love that advice of just start it. I think people get caught up in that, you know, especially with the way social media is now and the popularity of podcasts. It's easy to see, you know, some of these shows that have 20 people or 30 people working on them, and you're like, well, I'm so far from that. It would take forever. I think that's beautiful advice of just record it on a cell phone and see what happens and keep doing it. I really, really like to hear that. I think that's so true in so many ways. And then I also think that, you know, your thoughts about how the content itself can turn into so many things is spot on, man. It's like, you know, I'm sure that you're seeing just as much as I am the amount of AI written, you know, generic copy and blog posts written by AI that you can tell are just so generic. And it's like, in a day and age where that's becoming more and more popular, having a real conversation that you can repurpose for, you know, copy, for social, for blog content, man, it really does make a ton of sense to me. And I think we're a long ways away from AI being able to do anything as compelling as having a human conversation, right? So I think it's pretty cool to hear the thought process behind that. How about, let's kind of switch gears a little bit. You know, you talked a little bit earlier about some of the nonprofit partners when you were talking about the different stories that stood out from the year. What were some of the like nonprofit partners and some of the things that you were able to do in that realm that stand out to you? Do you have any that come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many, and there, so without going through a full list, I kind of, there's some that I've met through the podcast that I've had like a long relationship with, and that's kind of turned into something more outside of just podcast stuff. But of course, obviously the mission for Illumin, the on the apparel side of collaborating and giving back to them. So this past year, we actually kind of switched up how we do our give back. And it's gone through a couple of different iterations, but one of the biggest changes was focusing on four specific, nonprofits that are, you know, making the outdoors more accessible, welcoming, and sustainable, and just kind of focus on them throughout the year. And then just kind of that automatically kind of kickback that goes back towards them through our sales online and at different events and that kind of stuff. So those are end up actually being four that we worked with, and two of them are here local to Springfield, Missouri, and then two are in Richmond, Virginia, which is where I'm originally from as well. So we've had great relationships with. So for example, those ones, the two in Virginia, one is Beyond Boundaries, and Shep at Beyond Boundaries, he's one of the coolest guys. I think he was one of our first partners like years ago when I first started Illumin, but he's extremely passionate. I'm really bummed that I didn't meet him while I was still living in Virginia. I've met him in person a couple times, but so Beyond Boundaries, they basically, they believe adventure is for everyone. So what they do a lot of work with individuals and youth as well that are, you know, maybe they're in wheelchair, maybe they're vision impairment, you know, maybe, there's other kind of, you know, mental or physical, you know, limitations that person has, but they don't look at those things as barriers to getting outdoors. So they'll work with other nonprofits within their area and take individuals rock climbing and fishing and whitewater rafting and hiking and literally just about any other outdoor activity you can think of. And they're always adding more. And not only that, but like working with the community for like community cleanups and that kind of stuff as well. But his story, I think like last year, looking at their impact report, there's over 256 adventures and over 2,000 participants with that. And that doesn't include the number of volunteers or, everything else as well. Yeah, it's really cool. And every time I chat with Shep, and not only him, but, you know, there's some others within the Beyond Boundaries kind of organization that we've had as guests before as well. But they're all just really great people in that sense. So Beyond Boundaries is one. They're out in Richmond, Virginia. The other is Keep Virginia Cozy, which is a kind of a super grassroots initiative out there. And it's really kind of focused just about really, really litter cleanup and trash cleanup. Brian Bell, the guy there, he organized back in 2017, started organizing trash cleanups. And that just kind of like spiraled in this big thing, you know, got his nonprofit status and all that stuff. So now he organizes that big cleanups. He works with like local breweries to get their grain bags to use those rather than trash bags. So he's not producing waste. Like the same things like reusable gloves. So like he's looking at it from a completely like even the trash part is like sustainable what's being thrown away. But I think it's something like over 300,000 pounds of trash that they've done, and they do meetups all the time, big Earth Day events. And they're really, he's a really awesome guy as well. And him and Shep work together a lot, with the two organizations to kind of collaborate and do stuff. So those are the two main ones in Virginia. And then, kind of here in the Springfield area too, that, also I've worked with for a long time is, James River Basin Partnership being one of them. They really do anything to protect the James River Basin, kind of in this area, you know, from streams and lakes and whatever waterways kind of fall into that. So they do, you know, really big projects from like different rebates for, you know, septic system cleanouts. They'll do like a rainwater collecting program, soil samples. So some more of that, more, I guess, scientific type stuff, I guess is the best way to do it. But they also have a big community supporting behind them. They do community cleanups throughout the year with the waterways. The two big ones are always the Earth Day cleanup and the river rescue, and, you know, hundreds of bags of trash, like, you know, over 20 tires and like the most random stuff that you'll see pick out of the river, wherever they're at, which is, those are always weird because it's like, oh, that's awesome how much trash like you pulled out, then you're like, oh wait a minute, that means somebody like threw it in there in the first place. So but they do some awesome stuff in that regard. So yeah, Brent and Todd over there, they've been awesome to work with. And then the last one is, you know, Ozark Greenways. They kind of help oversee sort of all of the trails, soft surface, hard surface trails kind of within the area, and really use it obviously to connect our community, but not only kind of from the recreational aspect, but also like the transportation, getting to work and everything like that. And they've been working on some big initiatives like out in like Fellows Lake area and building out trails there, obviously mainly for recreation in that point. But they do a lot of group rides, cleanups, trail building, that kind of stuff that really has grown the mountain bike and trail running community as well with that. So those are kind of like the four, you know, the four ones that we kind of work with that have been kind of throughout, you know, throughout the year. You know, part of our sales, you know, goes back to support their missions. But you know, one thing that's kind of been hard is, those are only four nonprofits, you know?
Right.
So what we kind of done this year on top of having them throughout the year is figure out how we can work with more nonprofits on top of those four, but just kind of do it at a, maybe a smaller scale in a sense, but still, you know, be able to provide value and raise awareness for those organizations. So, essentially, you know, there's, I don't know, 11 or 12 different organizations that we're working with throughout this year that are basically kind of like mini pre-sales. You know, the pre-sale will launch on a Friday and then, you know, 10 days later it will close. And once it's closed, everything will get printed and shipped out. And they'll get the organization that we collaborate with, you know, they'll get a percentage of those sales, from that specific collection. But that just has given, you know, a way to, increase our impact for the mission of the brand of Illumin and everything like that. So some of those, you know, that are coming up are, you know, Trail Spring, California Outdoor, the Environmental Educators of North Carolina, Wild Virginia, Wild and Free Mamas, Stewards of Conservation, and the Blue Sky Fund. So you got a mix of everything from trail building to outdoor groups to kind of a more educational aspect of it. So those are really fun to kind of work with those organizations and work on those projects and be able to kind of expand that reach and that give back. And a lot of those are found, you know, right through this podcast.
That's so incredible to hear, you know, the volume of people that Illumin and the podcast are able to reach and affect in a positive way. Yeah, I mean, that's so incredible to hear the number of people that you're able to reach and have a positive effect on through the podcast, through, you know, Illumin. I think, you know, hearing you talk about those, your four main partners, I think they all need you to be part of their pitch process, because hearing you talk about each one made me want to know more and more and more, because like, man, how cool are those four, you know, just in their different approach to how they can affect positive change and, you know, such community-based things. You're right. It's like, you see all that trash, you know, I see it here, even in my own yard. We have a creek that runs past our house, and it's just like, man, we have tires, we have all sorts of stuff that are just like, it shows up in our yard out of nowhere. And it's just like part of the outdoors, unfortunately. Like, how did this get here? You know, and I feel like it's such a community-based thing, because you will go places and see, you know, some community where you're just like, wow, it's really beautiful here. And there's not a bunch of trash on the side of the roads. It's like that takes a lot of effort and a huge community effort. And so it's just so cool to hear about those organizations and hear how you're able to play a part in, you know, helping facilitate and helping, you know, get extra funds to them and helping make those connections, because that's such a big part of it when it comes to that type of work is what your network is like and what your ability to collaborate is like. That just plays such a huge role. So that's really, really awesome to hear about. And then, man, that's just, you know, those littler partnerships, that sounds like such an effective way to get more more people, more organizations involved in it. And so I love that strategy and that approach because, you know, I feel like you are able to do so much, but I should remind you, there's only so much you can do also because you've got so much good stuff going on that like, man, you gotta make sure that it's like, you're taking some time to rest every once in a while, right?
I try.
All right. Good. I'll keep checking in on you then for that. Yeah, man, that's awesome. What's on the horizon? Anything new, anything different coming up for the podcast for the next, let's say the next 200 episodes?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think at this point it's kind of just holding steady and just keep trying to find, you know, unique and different guests to share those stories. So if you're listening to this and you have anybody in mind, like I said, whether it's an individual or you know, business or a nonprofit or whatnot that is making a good impact in the outdoors, you know, tell them to send us a message or DM or whatever. But, you know, kind of holding steady with that and kind of the same with, you know, the nonprofit aspect of as far as like the partnerships go, you know, trying to, you know, make it feel like, you know, we're holding in, you know, up our end. You know, I think of as of recording this, it's a little over $36,000 that we've raised since I started Illumin. So I hope to kind of continue to see that number to grow, but, you know, kind of continue to kind of get creative in the ways that we can support them, you know, financially with awareness. And then, you know, hopefully between now and the next couple of years when episode 300 is out, you know, figure out how to get a more, you know, figure out how to make an impact more, not just financially and through awareness, but actually kind of, you know, boots on the ground type of deal. But, you know, so at some point that will hopefully kind of be in the works to kind of expand that and to kind of, you know, have an arm helping that way as well. But that's that's pretty much it for what's going on in 2004 and 2024.
Man, time's crazy. It could be 2004 for all I know.
But yeah, no, we're just kind of coasting and kind of doing the same thing and trying to, you know, inspire and encourage as many people as we can, all while, you know, supporting, you know, these awesome outdoor nonprofits.
Yeah, that's so phenomenal, man. And I really love hearing about it. And so I appreciate you letting me ask you some questions about it, because I'm, like I said, I'm in awe of your ability to continue to do the podcast and to continue to grow Illumin, because I know that you probably would be hesitant to just, you know, push your own thing. But man, from my point of view, it's like, I can't think of a better way for people to go help something that's authentically good for the outdoors and for local communities. You know, it's like, man, if you go get a shirt or you find some design that you really like, on your site, on a Illumin site, it's just like, it's that feel good, feeling of like, this shirt actually goes towards something that's doing good at like this hyper local level. And it's not some, you know, I think there's a really great role for a lot of these bigger, you know, nonprofits or a lot of the really big, initiatives like the 1% for the Planet, and a lot of the things that really do accomplish a lot of really good, results. To me, it feels different though, to be able to go to something like Illumin, like you, and know that like, if I'm looking for a shirt for a gift or something like that, you know, for example, I know that this purchase is going toward, you know, this specific hyper-local nonprofit, and I can go to your podcast and listen to like hear the founder of the nonprofit talk about exactly how they're doing their work. Like, there just aren't that many ways to feel that connection to your giving and to your you know, a purchase that you otherwise might be looking to make, you know, for like I said, you need some cool new spring apparel, or you're like me, you're getting rid of, I've been on such a minimizing kick that I've gotten rid of like all my shirts and all my, a lot of my clothes. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I'm wearing the same five shirts all the time. I need something fresh looking, and I want it to go towards something good, you know? So, I just want to say like, man, it's phenomenal seeing what you've done, and it's so cool to watch it grow and hear these stories that you're having such a direct impact with.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And yeah, I try to make it, you know, all encompassing in that way. So, you know, like I said, you get to hear the stories that the organizations were impacting and, you know, kind of, you know, feel it all along the way, you know, as far as, you know, the impact and kind of get a good understanding of what you're giving back to or what your purchase is helping give back to. It's been an awesome ride so far. So yeah, we'll see what continues with it.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man. Anything else come into your head for like any sort of message you want to give out there to the folks who've been listening for the past, you know, 100 episodes or even the full 200, any thoughts or parting messages that you want to shout out to the people who have been listening?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, thank you again for you know, staying along for the ride for the past 200 episodes. If you have been a listener subscriber since that long, but, or even a new one as well, but, you know, for the podcast episode or the episodes, you know, if there's something that you feel that's, you know, been holding you back or you think something might not be possible, you know, to do a trip or, to support an organization or figure out how to do your own cleanup or whatever that might be, you know, find some episodes of some similar people, that are kind of, you know, in the similar situation, whether that have to do with the job or family or, you know, an organization that's similar to like what you want to create and kind of listen to them and see what they're up to and use that as kind of inspiration to go out there and do your own thing in your own community or join something in your own community. You know, and feel free to reach out to me or even the guests that you see on the podcast. You know, most of them, I'd say all of them are super awesome and will be responsive and to help other grow within their community and answer questions in that way. So, you know, if it's something you're into, you know, figure out a way to make it happen. Especially if it's something, you know, you love and you're passionate about, and, you know, that's what has driven, you know, Illumin as a brand and the podcast and everything as a whole is just, you know, the passion and belief in what I'm doing and trying to figure out how to make it work and, you know, kind of moving on and carrying on even when there are bumps in the road, but, you know, just keep your head up and, you know, just keep moving forward.
I love that. That's phenomenal stuff. I think I'm going to have to listen back when this comes out and write some notes down, because I'm hearing a lot of really good stuff in that, and I think it's applicable to so many people. All right, well, I think we're to that point where this is, after all, your show, and I don't know how to end a podcast episode, so I'm gonna have to toss it back to you, because I know you said that there was some sort of surprise or something coming at the end that you wanted to fill people in on.
Should we tell them?
I think so, man. I think you promised it. So you can't be like those clickbait videos on Facebook and Instagram that say wait till the end, watch till the end, and then nothing happens. That's a new level of evil, and that's not what you're about. So I think you have to.
All right. So for those of you who have stuck with the entire episode, I appreciate that. So what we're doing, obviously, this is the 200th episode. There's so many guests. It's been so many years to kind of get to that point. But we figured to do something special. So what we're going to do, is a $200 giveaway to the website that will come via, a special code. But to enter that, after you listen to this, head over to our Instagram page. It's at Illumin Collect. And look for the pinned post. That will give you all the information of how to enter, how long it will go, how you get your code, all that good stuff. But check that out. And then from that post, we'll announce who the winner is, who gets the $200 that they can use however they want on the website. And, you know, maybe share it with your friends as well. So that's the big news. Get a $200 on the 200th episode.
Heck yeah, man. That's phenomenal. Are there any special rules about people who have been helping host a podcast episode if they're allowed to enter or not? Because I feel like some of those new designs, I'd love to have $200 worth of some of those.
Hey, if you follow the submission guidelines, everything's up for air. So,
all right, I'll have to enter and then tell everybody I know to enter, because I'm trying to win.
There we go. So definitely be sure to check that out. Like I said, that'll be on Instagram at Illumin Collect. And then, John, you know, where can people find Actual Outdoors online to see what projects you're up to? And kind of, you know, see all the different things. I know you talked a lot about branding and stuff, but I think there's a lot of cool pictures and stuff that you share for somebody that might not even have a business, but are just into like the content that you create for others.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. We're on Instagram is our most active thing right now. And that's at Actual Outdoors. And then our website is actualoutdoors.com. And for both of those, you know, we've been so busy traveling and doing stuff that, I promise I need to do a better job of actually updating everything and keeping everything up to date with our newest stuff. It's been wild, but yeah, we're most active on Instagram, I think, is probably the safest place. And then the website, if you want to reach out or see kind of the services or what kind of stuff we've done in the past, is also a good spot. So
cool. Everyone. Yeah, definitely make sure you check them out. Like I said, you know, if you're just a normal person, doesn't have a business, definitely check him out, because there's some really sweet photos and adventures that he goes on. But also, if you are a brand, obviously Illumin has worked with them with branding, some design stuff, kind of all of the above. They're a supporter of this podcast, but check him out. Good work, good people. So, but yeah, man, I appreciate you kind of letting me pass the mic to you once again for, you know, 100 episodes later. And I guess I'll, you know, see you at the next 100.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, man. I'll be here for every 100. Let's keep it rolling.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you've made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.